A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. If you would like to follow along with us during the reading, turn to page 17 of the New Testament section in the older Bible and page 16 in the newer Bible. Matthew chapter 15, verses 10 to 11, chapter 7, verses 1 to 5 and 12. Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles. Do not judge so that you may not be judged, for with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and when you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. And everything do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets." May this living word of God speak to us through these ancient words of Scripture.
The grace and peace of our brother and teacher and Lord, the one who has been raised, Jesus, be with you not just this day, but all your days. Well, in case you didn't get the email blast, guess what we're going to talk about today? But first, if you haven't had the chance yet, or even if you have, I would invite you to turn to the cartoon that is on the bottom of page 6 in your bulletin. Okay, as you can hopefully see, it is a cartoon that depicts God sitting on a throne up in heaven watching television. Well, next to God is an angel with a scroll open. But God apparently is not too interested in the scroll at that point, because God's hand is raised like this while God continues to be glued to the television set. And then we have the caption, and I'll read that, because as you can see, the print is very, very, very tiny. I apologize for that, but it's the best we could do with the available time and resources. And it says, "I can't deal with any famines, massacres, or epidemics right now. I've got to help some guy sink a foul shot." Sink a foul shot. It's a phrase that clearly indicates that what God is watching so glued to on that television is a basketball game. That's a basketball phrase. And considering the time of year we're looking at that cartoon, seems like the basketball game that God's watching is from either the men's or women's national college championship basketball tournaments that are going on and finishing up right now. An event combined that have come to be known across our nation as March Madness. Yes, they finish up in April, but most of it occurs in March, so they're called March Madness. Madness because of the tremendous passion and interest that the tournaments generate, not just among basketball fans, but among people who never pay any attention at all to basketball the rest of the year, or maybe even to any sports the rest of the year. God is watching March Madness. But of course, the point of the cartoon, as I'm sure you realize, is to say that, okay, God really isn't interested enough in basketball or any other sport to intervene in the outcome, to help somebody make a foul shot, to favor one team over the other. As much as we might like at times for that to be the case, I mean, I've got friends, trust me, I've got friends who I go to games with who I know haven't set foot in a church in years, but they'll spend 2 hours praying like their lives depended on it for their team. So we understand that that's not the case. But at the same time, I also don't believe that God is completely uninterested in sports. Uninterested. In fact, I think God has been quite interested, deeply interested in sports this past week, particularly in college basketball. For a couple of reasons. The first one is that last Sunday, Easter Sunday in the afternoon, a young man named Kevin Ware, who was playing for the University of Louisville's men's basketball team in March Madness at the time, went up in the air, came down, and with no contact whatsoever with another person, suffered a compound fracture of the right leg. It's a gruesome, gruesome injury, seen at the time by millions live on television and by many more millions in the minutes and hours right after due to the wonders of the internet. My sense is that God cared very deeply about that, that God cared very deeply about Kevin Ware and Kevin Ware's family and friends and teammates and coaches. My sense is that God had enormous empathy for Kevin and for all of them. That God understood and entered into their feelings. Because that's what empathy means. Empathy means the ability to understand and enter into another's sufferings, their struggles on an emotional and spiritual level. I think God had enormous empathy for Kevin and the rest, because I think that's an essential part of who and what God is. The other reason that I think God was particularly interested in college basketball this last week occurred right here in our very own backyard. Earlier this week at Rutgers University, Mike Rice, the head men's basketball coach at Rutgers, was fired from his position. He was fired from his position after a video surfaced that helped to reveal a pattern of Coach Rice continually, consistently shoving his players in practice, hurling basketballs at them, and bombarding them with both profanity and with anti-gay slurs. Serious stuff. Coach Rice was fired within days. And as we know now, the director of athletics is gone. An assistant coach is gone. The president is under fire. All of that stuff has happened. My sense is that God cares very deeply about what's happened at Rutgers, and on a number of different levels. For one thing, I believe that God cares very deeply about the fact that at a time when financial assistance to students so that they can pursue their degrees continues to shrink, colleges and universities continue to pour more and more money into their athletic programs. Despite the fact that, regardless of the impression, recent data suggests that only about 20 out of the hundreds of schools that compete at the highest levels in college sports actually operate in the black. My sense is that God cares very deeply about the fact that colleges and universities consistently, just as Rutgers just did, pay out millions. Millions in order to be able to fire or buy out the contracts of coaches and administrators. I'm sure that God cares very deeply about a culture. And I'm not just talking about the college athletic culture. I'm talking about the athletic culture in general, and I am talking about many aspects of our culture in general. That God cares very deeply about a culture that still far too often looks the other way or drags its feet when it comes to physical or verbal abuse. My sense is God cares very, very deeply about all of those things and many more. I'm sure that you have others in your own minds. In addition, though, I think God cares very deeply about two other aspects of what has happened at Rutgers. The two that I want to spend the rest of our time focusing on, because they directly relate to the two selections from Matthew's gospel that Hope just read for us. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles, but what comes out of it, Jesus says. He's talking to some Pharisees, some of the religious and civic leaders of the day. They have just criticized him publicly because some of his disciples, his followers, have eaten without washing their hands first. Now, that was a big deal to the Pharisees, to ancient Judaism in that time, and not just for sanitary reasons, although I hope that that was part of the picture. It was a big deal because it violated one of the purity laws of ancient Judaism, one of the religious purity laws. But see, the thing is, as Jesus knows, that's not really why they criticize. They bring that up. They criticize him because they are attempting to embarrass him publicly, to discredit him. And he knows this. And so he turns it back on them. He says, you didn't bring that up because you were concerned about purity. What's really on your minds is to bring me down, to discredit me. Because what comes out of the mouth is what defiles, a lot more than what goes into it. Just like those anti-gay slurs that Coach Rice is seen saying repeatedly. The same anti-gay slurs that are said throughout this country every single day. Those words defile. Defile means to pollute. Those words pollute the environment. They pollute our social, and cultural, and spiritual, and emotional environment. They pollute our hearts and minds against a group of people for no reason, completely unjustified. Just like the words of the Pharisees were meant to pollute the environment, to pollute hearts and minds against Jesus. Then there is the matter of Rutgers' response. The response of their leaders. And the delay. What took so long for them to respond to something that they knew about for quite some time, as it turns out. Well, that's related to, I think, the larger issue in their response. And that is the hypocrisy of it. The hypocrisy of it. Right? Let's go back. Let's rewind. Exactly 6 years ago, this coming Tuesday, radio and TV morning talk show host Don Imus was fired from his job for disparaging the members of the Rutgers University women's college basketball team, disparaging them on the air with racial slurs just after they had finished in competing in March Madness. The players, the coaches, the administrators, the community, the leaders of Rutgers were, as you recall, immediately enraged. Immediately offended. And rightfully so. Many of them immediately called for Don Imus to be fired, or at the very least for the corporations responsible for his radio and TV programs to intervene in the matter. And again, completely understandable, completely justifiable. But now, 6 years later, when it was one of their own, much different story. During the week, we have heard and read people come to Coach Rice's defense, say, well, you know, he was just really passionate about his job and trying to get the best out of his players. He got carried away in the heat of the moment, in the heat of competition. He's really a good guy who deserves another chance. And there may be a lot of truth to all of that. I don't know Mike Rice as a person. I know people who know him, and they say he is. You know, their relationship with him is that he is a very decent gentleman. Okay? That may all be true. But, the hypocrisy of it all, because those are some of the same types of things that Don Imus's defenders used in his situation, things that were completely and almost immediately rejected by Rutgers leaders. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye and not see the log in your own, Jesus says. And why do you insist on taking the speck out of your neighbor's eye and not the log in your own? I think these two aspects of what happened at Rutgers have something in common. They are bound by the same thing, the same spiritual factor, the same spiritual factor that is pointed to in the two selections from Matthew's gospel that Hope read. They are bound together by their connection to empathy, to that empathy that we talked about back at the beginning, God's empathy. The ability to understand and enter into another's feelings, another's struggles and suffering, another's existence. Both of these passages, both of these selections, point to the idea that that empathy is impossible without the ability and the willingness to see clearly. See clearly. In the first instance, to see clearly how our words can defile, how they can pollute the environment, pollute hearts and minds against another person or another group of people without any cause whatsoever. And in the second instance, the willingness and ability to see clearly how we can be so quick to see and judge and condemn another for their words and their actions, while at the same time being completely blind to the ways in which we do similar or possibly even exactly the same kinds of things. They both point to God's empathy, an empathy that is at the heart of who and what God is, an empathy that God calls each and every one of us to practice, an empathy that God calls us to offer not just the offended, but the offender too. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a hard one, isn't it? That's not one we're real crazy about at times. I don't like it at times. Imagine you don't either. But we have to remember something. We are people who profess to follow Jesus, who did not offer empathy to just the poor and the oppressed, and to those who were defiled in the society's eyes. We claim to follow a Jesus who offered empathy to the people who turned on him, who publicly tried to embarrass him like the Pharisees, the very people who betrayed him, his own disciples who abandoned him, empathy even to the people who executed him. Now, that doesn't mean Jesus didn't condone or look the other way in terms of their words and actions. Not at all. But he did refuse to condemn them. My sense is that despite all of this, despite everything that has gone on in Rutgers, and let's be perfectly clear, Rutgers isn't the only campus where this happens, where this has ever happened. I used to live in that world. And it pains me to say that I have seen this over and over again. I have sat and watched a practice while a coach at a major university use more profanity in 10 minutes than has run across my head in the last 50 years. All with the president of the university standing about 15 feet from where I was. That's how it is. But despite all of that, I still believe that God wouldn't want to do away with college athletics. That God wouldn't want to stop March Madness. And I say that because going back to the Hebrew Scriptures all the way through our tradition, God is presented to us as someone who takes great joy in our being able and having the opportunities to express the God-given talents that we have been given. Whether those talents are in athletics, whether they are in the classroom, whether they are at our job, whether they are in music, whether they are in other arts, any of those things. I don't believe that God would want to stop those things. But I do know the madness that God does want stopped. The madness caused by words that defile, that pollute our social and cultural and spiritual environment against a group of people for no reason at all. God does want stopped the madness caused by our hypocrisy, by our willingness to judge and condemn others while at the same time refusing to hold that same mirror up to ourselves? I do believe that the madness God wants stopped is our unwillingness and inability at times to see clearly. To see clearly, to see others clearly, and to see ourselves clearly, so that we can be people who say stop when it comes to the wrongs in the world, but also people of empathy for everyone involved. That kind of madness that God wants stopped, not just at Rutgers, and it's not just during March. Amen.